Podcast. Scotty Upshaw joins us once again, as he does every Thursday. Scotty, how you doing?
Doing well, boys. How are you?
Good. Now, earlier we were talking actually about restaurants on the road, and I know you are quite the foodie. So, like, what was Scotty Upshaw's top two places on the road to eat?
Oh man, those are some good questions. Always reminding me of the good days. Geez, you know what? I like to go to Chicago. You get that Viagra Triangle down there, and Scotty knows what I'm talking about. But man, there was a place called Maple and Ash down there. It opened up about 5-6 years ago. I remember with the Blues going in there for the playoffs and you know, setting up a little dinner with the boys after, I'd say, game two or game three, and saying, you know, okay, boys, let's keep this to like one or two bottles of wine. We got to, you know, we got to take care of business. But always some good looking girls there, and always a nice little atmosphere downtown Chi-Town.
Yeah, it's that one's hard to beat. And I think it's underrated as a place to go. Like, people don't know about it. They think of New York and L.A. They don't really talk about that little, well, not little, that gem in the middle of the country.
Yeah, you're right, Shreddy. And then, you know, and then you look around, there was always good places. Like, you know, some of the older guys always used to take me around. I remember, like, Scott Walker in my early days in Nashville, you know, showing me some good steakhouses in Detroit. You know, Columbus had a nice, nice steakhouse, but it was always the place the older boys like to go. You know, you get the surf and turf, a little beef carpaccio, and to, you know, throw around a little of the rouge. It's what made, you know, really playing in the NHL what it is. It's the road and time with the guys and just getting out there and having fun.
Now, last night during the game of the overtime loss to Boston and Washington, you know, there's a miscommunication with the goalie and the D, and then, you know, they panned over to Ovi, and it looked like Ovi was giving it to his goaltender. You know, I just assume that was the case. You know, well, is there anything that needs to be said there, to get promote a young goalie and kind of get him pumped up when your captain and leader is obviously quite frustrated with the misplay there?
Yeah, you know, Strutty, I've been part of that before. It's usually emotions that kind of take over. We all know the way Ovi plays, you know, how he demands everyone to kind of play at that level and to go outside their comfort zone. And listen, mistakes happen. You know, we see mistakes in the Vegas series. I think Pietrangelo in game one, you know, doesn't get the puck out hard around the wall, whether it's communication or just being, you know, a little bit soft. There's plays that you need to make. And, you know, you have a young goalie. Big part of playoff success is your goaltender being one of your best players, and getting a young goalie to, you know, feel comfortable in that, feel like his surroundings are, you know, that he's doing what he can to help the team win. I think Ovi probably sat down at the end of this with a deep breath and maybe apologized. Would probably be the right thing to do, because you need your goaltender. No matter what happens, boys, you need both goalies, because on any given night, whether the goalie has a bad night or an off night, and there's a switch and you throw your backup in, you know, these games are never over till they're really over. We've seen some really crazy things happen. You know, one being the Edmonton Oilers game back in, you know, Anaheim years ago. And that's, you know, things like that. I think goals can be scored at a rapid rate in the playoffs. Things can change quick. Having your goalie, you know, feeling confident and comfortable, and that's really, really important this time of year.
Scotty Upshaw joins us. Scotty, the Edmonton Oilers did what they wanted defensively, but I don't think they came close to doing what they wanted offensively, specifically through the neutral zone, off the rush. That's their bread and butter. And they only had 5 scoring chances off the rush. In the regular season games against Winnipeg, when they won, they were 66-37. And last night it was even. So Winnipeg definitely slowed them down. So how do you counter a team that's trying to slow you down off the rush? What do the Oilers have to do better so they can still be a team that's successful and dangerous off the rush?
Yeah, so I mean, after watching that, you know, what Edmonton should do really is watch the Colorado Avalanche. Really watch how they, how their D circle back with the puck, their forwards come back. They have one guy stretch the zone out and be like that anchor. And usually right now I'm seeing MacKinnon do it. MacKinnon blows the zone. He's up in the middle of the ice. He gets a pass. He hits either Rantanen or Landeskog on the wings. They go in. They get, you know, they exchange sides. And in this game, I mean, I watch, and just to talk about the Colorado and the way they play, I think they're the best team right now for playing with speed. And that's something Edmonton needs to, you know, really do and fine tune against, you know, against the Winnipeg Jets, the way they can clog things up. But But they get into the zone and then they stretch a guy high. You know, you're watching McKinnon get these pucks up in the top of the neutral zone. It spreads everything out, and that to me is what is what the Oilers can do. You know, and they can do it well. I think I've seen, you know, numerous times with such great moving defensemen like with Barry and Nurse, you use that to your advantage. Really spread their guys out. Bring them back and come up with a lot of speed and, you know, keep that guy high, really separate yourself. And then ultimately your guys just need to step up. It can't be just Connor. It can't be just Leon. You know, and Puljujärvi had a great game. He was all over the puck, but this needs to be everybody. You know, getting Cassian in the lineup next game is going to be huge. You've got to play a tough game. Things will start to happen. So I'm excited for game two. I think Edmonton's going to really kind of, Tip's a great coach. He evaluates what goes on. I'm sure their meetings today after practice will be, you know, just how to tweak things to create more speed and to create more chances for them.
Joined by Scotty Upshaw, a former NHLer. You know, Epi, when you look at that game last night, there was, compared to other series, a lack of emotion. Does that lack of emotion favor the Jets or the Oilers, or are you indifferent to it?
I think, you know, from afar, boys, the lack of emotion to me, it's just it's hard to go from watching a Carolina Hurricanes, you know, absolute party inside the PNC Arena to, you know, Rexall Place where there's just no fans and the guys got to still create their excitement. It's a tough thing. So maybe there's a little bit of lull. You know, maybe they need to get outside that comfort zone of like, oh, this is just another game. Like now it's playoff time, boys. Now things are magnified. You know, writers and, you know, analysis are all going to be looking at what's going on and you know, it's playoff time and you got to find the emotion. You got to find the energy and, you know, unfortunately the Canadian way and the Canadian government right now can't get fans into the arenas, even vaccinated ones. And that's tough, but these guys still got to go out and figure it out. You know, you got to go out and put forth, you know, a playoff style atmosphere. You got to finish checks. You got to play hard. You got to get under the other team's skin. You know, you got to play hard. It's just that playoff style of that man game. You got to play like that or your season can end super, super fast.
Scotty Upshaw joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. You mentioned him earlier. You know, Nathan McKinnon, man, when he comes to the playoffs, he's just on another level. Like, you know, McDavid's been unbelievable in the regular season, but if you look at McDavid's production in the playoffs compared to McKinnon, McKinnon's crushing him. Why is that?
It's a man's game, boys, the playoff time. And I'm not saying nothing about Connor being, you know, not being a man because what he's done is incredible. But it is just, you know, I think he's got 42 or 43 games with 61 points, Nathan McKinnon. I mean, he's an absolute beast. The way he skates, the way he finishes checks, the way, you know, look at the shots he's taking. They're not even from high-quality scoring areas, but he's blistering them past, you know, Jordan Binnington right now. And he uses the screens. He shoots well. He doesn't pass up shots, which he might do in the regular season. It's something I noticed in the first couple games is he's a shoot-first mentality. In the playoffs, you have to be like that. You never know where the pucks are going to bounce. You have to get traffic in front of the net, and then you got to just play a man game, and Strutty knows what I'm talking about. You're going to take those extra whacks. You're going to get cross-checked in the back of the arm and the back of the legs, and it's a man's game. And, you know, things are decided by one goal, by a post, by a penalty. Everything is magnified in the playoffs. And what, you know, Nathan McKinnon and even that, just that full line, what Ratnan and Landeskog do on a daily basis, every time they're on the ice with the puck, is pretty special. They are definitely the best line in hockey right now. You know, there's great lines in Boston. We got one in Edmonton. But this line right now for the Colorado Avalanche are really just a force.
What do you think of the one series that hasn't started yet? Starts you know, pretty quick here. Montreal and Toronto. Do you give Montreal any chance in this one?
I do, because I think Montreal knows how to play a defensive style mentality, and that mentality being the most important thing. They're not going to play a run and gun game against Matthews and Marner. There's just no chance they'll win. Their goaltending. It's going to be a goaltending battle. If they play hard, if Webb's if Webbs is healthy and can play a strong game, Petrie, and then you get Gallagher back. Gallagher is a guy that can really drive this train for the Montreal Canadiens, and he's going to have to. He's the heartbeat of their team. Toronto, they're licking their chops. It's been, you know, 5-6 days since they played. They're gearing up for, you know, what's they're expecting to be a long playoff run. And the Montreal Canadiens playing just this tight style of hockey, winning those 1-0, 1-1 games. You got to expect Matthews is going to score some goals, but the more you keep him off the, you know, off that score sheet, boys, the only chance and a good chance you'll have of beating these guys. But I expect that series to go, you know, 5-6 games. If there's some really close games, man, Montreal squeezes some out, then, you know, Toronto's going to have their hands full. So it's really exciting for Canada, for hockey itself, and, you know, for NHL fans all over the world to see Montreal Canadiens and Toronto Maple Leafs series start tonight. That'll be really exciting.
The Minnesota Wild, you know, shut out Vegas for the first 90 minutes, then Vegas got rolling. Do they finally figure out Minnesota, or is something you're seeing in Minnesota that's a real tough matchup for Vegas?
I watched game one on Sunday with one of the Vegas Golden Knights minority owners here in Newport Beach, and we sat there, and, you know, he's not much of a hockey, you know, breaking it down. He loves the game. He doesn't know too much. And what I saw was just these guys that were a little frustrated. The bounces weren't there. And, you know, the effort wasn't there. There was some 50-50 pucks on faceoffs that weren't won. And they didn't start with the puck. And the Vegas Golden Knights, to me, are a puck possession team first. They're an older team. They know how to win. Petrangelo should be their best player, best two-way defenseman day in, day out. And then, you know, a heartbreaking 1-0 loss. I thought Fleury played out of his mind, which is why he got the start in game two. I thought that was a great call. And game two, it starts off the lull too. They don't score a goal in the first period. And all of a sudden it's like, man, are we ever going to do this? Like we're all this effort and all this, you know, we're doing the right things, but it's not happening. And then, you know, and then the goal started coming. Tuck started to feel it. He started to put himself in front of the net, big body. A guy that knows how to score goals. Mark Stone was making the right plays. They definitely need to fix their power play. I think the way that they set up with Carlson on his off wing, getting cross-seam passes in the power play and not being able to one-time pucks, I think he needs to get those pucks off his stick earlier. But they found their confidence, and then they found their mojo, and sure enough, 1-1, and Minnesota's going, all right, now we've kind of awakened the beast. It's going to be a tough series, but Minnesota and their coach, Dean Evason, who I had in Kamloops, is they play tough and they play hard. And just like what Winnipeg did to Edmonton in the first night, they kind of slow them down and they take advantage of mistakes like they did on Petrangelo's goal in the first game. So two great teams. I think both of those teams are a team that can give either Colorado, you know, it looks like Colorado might come out of this series, but Colorado will have their hands full with either one of those teams, and I think that that'll be a great matchup, you know, when things are all said and done.
And what do you think happens to Nazem Kadri?
Nazem Kadri's got to take a little breather here for the next couple weeks. You know, it's an unfortunate play. He needs to know what playoff toughness is all about, and it's not about throwing those style of checks. It's about taking a guy's number and you know, finding a good way to get at him. I don't think he was maliciously trying to do anything to Falk that, you know, that was premeditated, but he just can't do that hit. And, you know, 10 years ago, could you catch a guy like that if he had his head down following in on a shot? You might have. It would be dirty, but you probably wouldn't get, you know, you probably wouldn't get 5 or 10 games for it. Right now, he's going to sit out for this series, I think, boys, and he'll be lucky if he gets in the first couple games of series two for sure.
You're a physical player, Scotty. What's Kadri got to change? Like, some say, hey, keep your stick down. That will lower your chances to go. But it looked like he was kind of – when you've done it that many times, I just can't believe that this guy wasn't trying to go for the head here. Like, somebody in that organization – because he's a valuable player to that team, no question about it. Somebody got to talk to him about this. Like, you know, that's the third time in the playoffs you're getting suspended.
Yeah, it's insane. As a fan and as a player – you know, and as a guy that covers hockey now, it's, you shake your head, you scratch your head, you shake your head, you do whatever. It's a play that Nazem Kadri needs to take out of his game. And I'll tell you why. If you're coming across and you're hitting that guy on his off wing, it is so hard with the speed of the game now to time it where that hit will, when that, that hit will always be dirty. You can never time it to catch the guy on the right part of his shoulder or in the lower midsection, which is what they try to say now, like try to hit the guy lower and in full body contact. The game is too fast. When you go to initiate that style of hit in the middle of the ice, you are going to catch him either on the side of his face or directly to the side of his head. And it's a major penalty. You're going to put your team down. You know, they're controlling the game up two goals with 7 minutes left. He goes out and takes a 5-minute major. That could change the whole series if it's not already with him being out. And he needs to just really evaluate. He needs to take a breather. I don't know who needs to, you know, sit down and talk with him. It could be someone older, you know, within the organization. I don't know who they have in place, but Kadri is too valuable to be out like that. I just watched a highlight of him cross-checking DeBrusk and quite frankly, trying to take Dzingo. I think it was Dzingo back in the day or someone. I mean, he tried to take his head off Toronto against Boston a few years ago, and the guy was lucky he still had his head on. So these plays need to be out of the game, and Kadri needs to be in the lineup for his team in order for them to have success. And quite frankly, it's an unfortunate, selfish play that's going to cost the Colorado Avalanche down the stretch.
Scotty, always great to catch up with you, man. We appreciate it, and we'll be listening in on Missing Curfew podcast. What's coming up?
We got some good guests coming up, but it's great. Now it's playoff time. You know, we got lots to talk about. My boy Shane O'Brien just had Scotty Bowman on today on the Power Play on Sirius Radio, so that was pretty cool. We tuned into that. He told a story about the original, you know, Missing Curfew story about him leaving the stick at the hotel, which is a legendary Scotty Bowman story. So yeah, it was great, but we have some great guests. We had Cabby Richards on today, good TSN and, you know, Sportsnet, all that good stuff. Great personality for the game of hockey. So he was on today. That launched today for all you guys want to tune into that. But, no, things are great in the podcast world, boys, and down here in Southern California. So.
Yeah, well, put on some sunscreen. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, boys. Always a pleasure. You guys have a good one.